Oh God, you are gracious and kind, wonderful and majestic in all your ways. Lord, would you be so gracious and kind as to fulfill the promise and send the Holy Spirit to your people. That, Lord, as we learn tonight, it would be your Holy Spirit that would be teaching us. It would be your Holy Spirit that would be instructing us and leading us in the study of your word. That it wouldn't be one message, but it would be a message for every heart, a message for every person, every family, every husband, every wife, every child. That God, you would meet us in this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen. For context, let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 1. And let's go ahead and just read through part of this together. He says this. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Remember that these men touched Jesus. They hugged him. He hugged them. They saw his earthly ministry. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw him go to the cross, and they saw him after he was buried 3 days and he rose again from the dead. He says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things were written to you that your joy might be full. So all these things that are being written, that our joy might be full, and truly when our fellowship is with God and it's right, we have joy. When our fellowship with one another is good and it's right, we have joy. And then he goes on to verse 5 and he says this. He says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now let's go back and let's begin to take this apart and learn and glean. It says, this is the message which we have heard. The first thing I want you to realize is that this is the witness. They have heard this message, and the message that they have heard, they declare. So the idea of the message, they are the witnesses of the message. Are we witnesses of the message that is ringing in our ears? Because for them, in the Greek language, the way that the tenses are laid out for us, he's basically saying, look, the message which we have heard that is still ringing in our ears. That message that we heard is still alive. It's still powerful. It's still moving. And that message, as we've heard, is still ringing in our soul, ringing in our ears. And we declare, we turn and bring that message to you that is still ringing in our hearts and in our ears. We bring that message to you. And so the idea of being the witness, are we witnesses of the message that we have heard? Are we telling others of the things that we hear that resonate with our heart and our soul and our mind? Have you ever been in church and just had a message? Just ring your bell. You know what I'm talking about, right? By the way, that happens to me all the time. Usually sometime around Thursday afternoon when I'm preparing for Sunday, I get my bell rung by Jesus. You know, for tonight, it was earlier in the week. Jesus is ringing my bell. And he's getting my attention. And so I bring to you that which God has already worked out through and in me. Because, by the way, the scripture says, he who waters is he himself watered. I don't come to you saying, hey, this is what you must do. I come to you saying, this is how God beat me up this week. I hope that you can join me. Because that's kind of how it goes. So here's the question. Are we being witnesses? Please notice that John declares that we have heard. John is not alone in his hearing. He is not alone in his declaration, in his sharing of the message. Do we ever feel like we're alone in our hearing? Do we ever feel like we're alone in sharing the message? If we are, we're out of fellowship. We're not where we should be. We should never feel alone in the message and with the message and in sharing that message. John's message was also, we learn here, in harmony with the New Testament writers. These men had heard from God. They had also conveyed the message to us that they had heard. John was in line with all of those others that had heard and seen and followed Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Now, as he says here, this is the message which we have heard from him. Please understand, there is a source of the message. Who's the source of our message? The source of our message is Jesus. It's God, it's his word, and so the Lord is with us. The Lord is teaching us, and we've heard from him. That is the source, and he says, and we declare it to you. That's the ministry. Think about it for just a moment. We have heard a message from God, and we declare it to others. That's simple ministry. You do not have to be a preacher. You do not have to be a preacher to share the message that you have heard. You can be walking through the store and you can tell somebody what God has touched your heart with. You can share with that family member. You can drop a note and say, hey, man, God shared this with me. I want to share that with you. I want to bless you. It encourages my heart when we are all using social media together and I can kind of see that outpouring after a message. And I see all these things that people put up that touch their heart. And then I see people respond to what we declare that we have heard from him. That message, the source being from God, and we declare that with others. I'm so encouraged. John wants his readers to understand he's not making any of this up. It is from the Lord. It is God's message. And he's declaring to them what he knows to be true. And we know it to be true because it came from God. The source of the message is God. That is why, church, we cannot get away from teaching the word of God. When you come to church, we're going to be opening our Bibles. We're going to be studying the word of God, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We're going to go verse by verse, phrase by phrase, passage by passage. We're going to learn the word together, and we're going to be well educated in the word. Why? Because that is where the message comes from. It is the source of the message that we declare to others. When we read the scriptures, do you and I really realize who's speaking? 66 books, 40 penmen, over 1,500 years, one author, God. This is God's word. And when you read God's word, it is God who is speaking to you. John is declaring that he and they heard a message from God. And this is the message that they share. And the message is this, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. The term light here is the idea, and I can go into it. I just explain a little bit. This is dealing with a characteristic of God. It's the idea of God is light. God is pure. He is pure. There is no mixture. There's no compromise. There's no pollution of any kind. God is sinless in every way. And in him, There is no darkness at all, not even a little bit of darkness. None whatsoever. As God is light, we do have to understand that God is also light through Jesus Christ. So if God is light, which would say, he, as he says here, God is light. There's no darkness, there's no sin or evil found in him. He is perfectly pure. The word of God says that Jesus is also light. Consider what John chapter 1 says, starting in verse 4. He says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of the light. And all through him might believe, speaking of the light. He was not that light, speaking of John, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. By the way, if God is light and Jesus is light, then that means Jesus is God. You missed it. Jesus is light. If God is light and Jesus is light, that means Jesus is God. Now, are you following me? Right? Let me go over it one more time. I feel like I lost you because I already said he was light, and then you answered he was light twice. So if God is light and Jesus is light, then Jesus is God. There you go. There you go. When people ask you, where does it say in the Bible that Jesus is God? All over. Okay. Now, John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This again reinforces for us that idea that Jesus is God. And James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. So I want to ask a question as we've gotten to this far. We've talked about hearing the message. We've talked about knowing the source of the message and declaring the message. Let me ask you this. Are we men and women who have heard the message? Have we heard that message? Is the message of God still ringing in our ears? Is that moment of our first love still on fire in our hearts? How many of you guys remember the day that you were saved? You guys remember that day? How many of you guys remember? That's concerning. Let me try it again. How many of you remember the day that you were saved? Okay, how many of you all have grown up always knowing kind of the things of the Lord, right? Kind of always know, right? Yeah, so there's a difference there, right? But I remember for me, it was like a light switch went on. I went from darkness to light. And please understand, I was good at darkness. I was what I refer to as a fully card-carrying, practicing heathen. I was a heathen. And I went from darkness to light in the instant when the light of the Lord shined in my life. You know, years ago, I wrote a song. It said, in the darkness I was lonely until I saw your glorious light. Because it's true. Lord, I was alone and I was lonely in that darkness. Couldn't see, and then all of a sudden there was illumination. And when that illumination came because of the glorious light of God, I then entered into fellowship with God and with other people because I was no longer alone in the dark. But are we in relationship with the source of the message? This is an important question. Are we in relationship with God? He is the source of the message. Are we in prayer over the word? Are we studying the word? Are we desiring to know it? Are we learning? And then are we declaring that message? You have to understand, you have to have output, church. You have to have output. How many of you guys are familiar with how the waterways of Israel work? Anybody familiar with that? Okay, some of you are not. I'm going to give you a little bit of lesson about Israel. There is a sea in the northern part of Israel at the south of Mount Hermon, which is called the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, also known as the Harp Sea or the Sea of Gennesaret, that particular sea is teeming with life. There are fish and birds and business and commerce, people everywhere. In fact, when you go there today, it's interesting. You'll be at the hotel, you're jet lagged, you're trying to go to bed at night, and there'll be the little party barges going across the water. You hear all night long. You're like, do these people ever sleep? You know, and they don't. They're just up having a great old time, and there's all this life that's there. And from there, it goes south into the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River has headwaters that are north of that. They come from Caesarea Philippi. That's where one of them is, and other places. There's three of them. They come together, and they come together as the Jordan. They come into the Sea of Galilee, and then they flow out. And then they flow south. They flow all the way through the country until they get to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, its mineral content is so high that you can go sit down in the water. You won't sink. And by the way, don't wash your face with it. Because that mineral content, the salt and all those minerals is so incredibly high. Get it in your eyes. Oh, it's a painful, it's rough. We had a guy do that when we were there. Because he went running for the water and he was just going to dive into the Dead Sea. And we're all going, no. And we're trying to stop him, and he hit that water and he came out going, ah. You know, we're pouring water bottles over his eyes. We're trying to get it cleaned out. And it was just one of those, it's really, really awful. But there's something about that area that I noticed when I got off the bus. I grew up near the ocean. Spent a lot of time going to the ocean. And what's the one thing, if you're a kid with a sandwich, you have to watch out for if you are near the ocean? Seagulls. Seagulls are brutal. Oh, I'll eat a sandy sandwich all day long. I'm not worried about that. Look at me. I've never skipped a meal. But the idea is that what happens is that those seagulls, they'll come in, and if you're not paying attention, they will rip the food right out of your hand. So whenever I'm near a body of water, I am keenly aware of what's happening around me. I get off the bus, the Dead Sea. There was not a bird in the sky. There was not a bird on the shore. There was nothing in flight. Do you know why? Because there's nothing for them to eat. Because there's a reason it's called the Dead Sea. No fish. No birds, it's dead. You know what the difference is between those two bodies of water? One of them has an outlet. The Sea of Galilee, water flows in and water flows out, and it's teeming with life, it's healthy. But you get to the other one and it's just stagnant and sits. We as Christians have a lot of input. How many of you guys go to church more than one time a week, right? Yeah, right? And so we have all this input. But what are we doing with that input? Does our input have an outlet? Because if we don't, we can become stagnant. And there can become a time in our lives where there's just no life coming forth from us because we are not having an outlet for our faith, for our worship, for our passion for God. I'm going to be honest with you. Do you know when we gather together and we worship, do you know that's an outlet? Right? When we're in church together and we're standing and we're clapping, or at least we're trying to clap, or, you know, or whatever. Sorry, no judgment. But you know, we're clapping or raising our hands or we're celebrating the Lord together. How many of you guys understand that's an outlet of your faith? That's an outlet of your faith. So you understand that's an outlet of your faith. When you share with a family member what you learned at Bible study, that is an outlet of your faith. When you pray for somebody who needs prayer, that is an outlet of your faith. There are so many things in our lives that become an outlet, but we can also become stagnant. We can also come to the place where we are not putting out anymore. Because what did he declare? He said, look, this is the message that we've heard from him. He's the source, and we declare it to you. They're doing the ministry. Are we men and women of that light? Psalm 27:1 says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. There's no one we should be afraid of. Psalm 18:28 says, for you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. Have you ever had dark days? Anybody heard of those? See, because what we're talking about here as we get into this passage, we're talking about the difference between darkness and light. If we are following the Lord, we're in light. We're not living in darkness. And the Lord comes into our life and turns on the light. Okay, how many of you used to live in darkness? How many of you are now living in light? How many of you notice a difference? Yeah, you should notice a difference, right? Because darkness, there's no hope. There's no joy. But when we're in the light, we're cleansed. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. So let me ask you this. Do we light up the world around us with hope? Just think about that. When you walk into a situation, when you walk into a room, when you walk into work, do you light up the room with hope? Or are you a man or a woman that are just your light? And you come in and they go, oh, they're here. Joy has just come in. And that's actually not your name. That's who you are. Because you are a living outlet of what you're hearing and what's going in to your life. And you're saying, man, here I am, and I just want to let you know about how good God is and how great everything is because God's on the throne. But your house just burned down. That's cool. God's still on the throne. Do you believe that you could have that kind of attitude? I was a young pastor, and a woman in our church, her house had burnt down. She was a widow, and her house had burnt. And we got the phone call, and so we went, and we were praying on our way over there. We didn't know what to say. I had just started working in law enforcement as a chaplain in law enforcement, and so I was still really green and not really sure what you do in some of these situations. Somebody burns their house down. What do you say, right? What do, right? And we knew this young woman, and she loved the Lord, and she was always full of joy and always full of hope. And we get there, and I get out of the passenger side of the car, and the other pastor gets out, and she's just standing there in front of the house, just kind of, you know, some tears in her eyes, just kind of overwhelmed with the whole thing. And I didn't see what the other pastor had done. He'd reached in and he'd brought a bag of marshmallows. And he walked up to her and he says, hey, put his arm around her and says, hey, I brought the marshmallows. We're ready to go. And she just started to laugh. And he started to laugh. And I was thinking, there's no other situation that would work in. Could you imagine doing that to somebody who didn't know the love of God? Could you imagine saying that to somebody who didn't have the hope of heaven, the hope of a God who's going to take care of you? I was like, oh. I had that moment of like, I'm not with you. I didn't know how that was going to go. But it's so amazing to me to know that no matter how tragic things can become, no matter how difficult things can be in our life, because we have a message that is ringing in our ears, and we know the source of that message, and we declare that message with the life that we live, and the life that we live is a life that is full of joy and hope and fellowship and light. But have you ever met the person who's just, they're just like a rain cloud every time they walk into a situation? You know what I'm talking about? They walk in the room and you can hear in the background, you know. They just come in and everything just starts to get gray. Let me ask you a question. Is that person walking in light? Is that person walking in fellowship with God? Now look, I'm going to be the first person to be honest. and say, life can be hard. Life can be dark. But life can never eclipse the light of God. This life can never eclipse the light of God. No matter what's happening in this life, we always have that hope. Are we being a gift of light to the world? Or are we being a burden when we come into the room? Now, John here, he is dealing with a heresy as he's writing to them. Antinomianism is, it's like trying to say linoleum really fast three times, but antinomianism is the heresy that he's dealing with. What is antinomianism? What that is a teaching that says that the effect that a person has if they're living in sin and compromising with it, and at the same time is in fellowship with God. So what it is saying, I can be in sin and be in fellowship with God at the same time. And so John is now going to address that clearly. Listen to what he says. He says, if we say, and I love how he includes himself and the church and others, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that is God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the idea of fellowship, this is the word koinonia. It is a fellowship which is intimate communion or communication with one another. If we say that we have an intimate communication and communion with God, and we say that we have that with him, and we say that we are with him in that way, but yet we're in sin, we're in darkness, we are greatly deceived. And this chapter is going to clarify what it means to have fellowship with God. It's already mentioned it several times as we've been going through this. So he says, look, if you say, if we say, if any of us say that we have fellowship with God, if we're in intimate communication and communion with him, and we walk in darkness. This walk refers to the manner in which you're living. How are you living? If you're walking or living in darkness, this means you're living apart from God's truth. If you're living apart from God's truth, and by the way, this would naturally include the practice, the living in sin. If he says, man, if you say that you have fellowship with God, if any of us say that, and by the way, lots of people come into church and say that. Did you guys know that church and did you know there's a language people can learn to try and fit in here? Christianese, right? They can learn those things. They can come in and, oh, bless the Lord. It's such a great day. God is so good and he's so marvelous and wonderful and he's benevolent. And you know, they could use all these words, right? But they could be walking in darkness. They can learn a language, but their heart is not changed. In other words, they faking it. Did you guys know there's people that come to church and they're faking it? I look around at some of the single ladies. They know that for sure. You know how I know they know that? Because sometimes they come to church and they meet a player. Well, you guys know what I'm talking about, girls. Some of you girls know what I'm talking about right now. You come to church and you're hoping to meet a guy that loves the Lord and he says all the right things. He raises his hands, but he's in darkness. You know what, girls? I always feel bad for you because you end up meeting those guys. You know why I meet those guys? It's because that's a 1% of all men. I mean, 1% of all men are players, and those are the guys that are brave, and they'll come up talk to you anywhere, and they won't care because they just want things for themselves. And I always feel bad because you can have people that can come into church and that are playing a game. They're not real about God. They're not real about who God is and who God is with them. And they're walking in darkness. They're living in sin, but they're saying one thing. What does it say? It says, if we say we have fellowship with God and we are walking in darkness, we're living in that. He says, we lie. I love that. It just says, we lie. We lie and do not practice the truth. That's kind of like the little truth bomb right here. We cannot practice sin and practice truth at the same time. It doesn't work. To live in sin and claim to have fellowship with God is a lie. Now, you understand, it's a Wednesday night on a nice-ish evening outside, right? And we are here. So a little bit, preaching to the choir. I get that. But did you know that there are so many out there today that say that they have fellowship with God and they're a Christian and they love the Lord, but they are practicing sin? They're not practicing truth, they're practicing the lie. They're living a lie. Sin and righteousness cannot coexist. No more than light and darkness can coexist. It's either one or the other. How many of you have ever gone into like a big cave tour? How many of you guys have ever done that? Right? When they shut off all the lights, right? And there's always some stupid person that's gonna scream as soon as they turn off the lights, right? You know, and so when you're a young child and you're freaking out, right, already, and you're like, you know, your dad's holding on to you and they shut off the light, and then somebody goes, ah, you're like, I'm gonna die in here. Because you can't see and you're doing this thing in front of your face, and you actually can't see your hand because there is no light. And then a moment later, the tour guide takes out a match and lights one match and illuminates the whole cave. Do you understand that darkness is only the absence of light? When light exists, darkness cannot coexist with it. It just doesn't happen. We must not deceive ourselves, thinking that we're in fellowship with God and then walking in a lifestyle of sin or living in a lifestyle of sin. Now, John is not saying that Christians never make mistakes, okay? And he's not saying they never sin. So real quick, show of hands, how many of you as Christians blow it on a regular basis? Right on. Good. That means you're honest. If you didn't raise your hand, I'll do it in Spanish next time. Okay, now listen. But listen to this. You want to write this down. You want to understand this. There is a difference between warring with sin and walking in sin. And I hope you hear the difference. As a Christian who is working out their salvation with fear and trembling, as you're learning and growing, you are warring against sin in your life. How many of you get it, right? We get that. And there's a huge difference between warring with sin. That means we're always fighting it. We're always realizing we just do it and we go, that was stupid. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Have you ever had that moment when you do something that's just really ungodly and then you get convicted by the Holy Spirit and you're like, and I've had this conversation with God. I've said, God, why didn't you tell me beforehand? To which the Holy Spirit, it was not audible, but it might as well have been, said, if you would have been listening, because I did. So often, we don't listen to that voice that's saying, stop it, 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 stop it. And then we're like, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. The Lord's like, but I told you to stop it. But we don't. How many of you guys can relate to that, right? Yeah, I'm there. But warring against sin in our flesh, that's going to be normal. And he's going to go on as we continue through these verses and begin to talk to us how to live a consistently cleansed lifestyle where we're always dealing with those things. When we are practicing sin, we are not practicing the truth. And when we are practicing sin at that moment, we are not in fellowship with God. But he says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the only way that we can walk with God, by the way, is to walk in the light. Did you guys get that? You cannot walk with God in the darkness. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to walk with God, you walk in light. That is just how it works. If you don't like it, too bad. He's light, and in him is no darkness at all. But he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. See, now if I'm walking in the light of God's truth, and you are walking in the light of God's truth, then we have a common ground of fellowship found in the light of God's truth. That's God's word. Now, how many of you realize that in the churches, I'm going to use a different term than is normally used. How many of you guys get knowing? How many of you guys get the idea of knowing your tribe? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. The idea is like, I am a non-denominational, independent pastor. I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor. I've been a Calvary Chapel pastor for 30 years. I love the Lord. I love the style of ministry that we have. So let me explain something to you. That's my tribe. You guys get that? So that's my tribe. I get it. I have a tribe. We all have that. But how many of you guys understand there's other tribes out there that name the name of Jesus and they're doing great things, right? Right? It's called the universal body, the big body of Christ, right? But within that body of Christ, we all have different things. We all have our different places that we feel comfortable. I always joke around how, like, we here have just kind of settled with we all have the same sort of dysfunction together, right? That's kind of how we all come together. We get each other. We understand. We learn in the Word together. And we just have the same way that really resonates with us about ministry. And so we all come together. But at the end of the day, when we go to war, all the tribes go to war together. I want you to think about it. Because we have one banner. And that banner is the truth of God. We can have this group of people over here that, you know, do their worship this way, and this group of people over here do their worship that way, and we could have all these different groups, and they're all doing different things, but ultimately, when the battle comes, we all stand together as one body of Christ, and one day, God's going to call us home. And when God calls us home, no more. Just one church, all together. I love worshiping in other countries where I don't understand the language, but I know the song. And by the way, the Christian National Anthem has been sung in, I think, every language. Do you guys know the Christian National Anthem? It's by Rick Founds. It's called Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Some of you have been around worship long enough, you laugh at that. Some of you have never heard the song because I refuse to do it. I've done it so much. I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. But the idea is that here we are, and we are one body. But we're different groups of people, but we're one body. And for us to be one body, we walk together. We walk together. We have fellowship with one another as one tribe under the banner of truth, which is the Word of God. There are many things that bring people together, but only God can make us walk in light and have fellowship that's intended for his children. And he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is the idea of cleanses us is in the continual present tense. So we are in continual need of cleansing. How many of you guys can relate to that, right? Because why? Because we're making mistakes all the time. We're in a continual need of cleansing, continuing to always walk in the light. The cleansing from sin only comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to share that real quick. Make sure everybody knows. The cleansing of sin only comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why, as we took communion tonight together, reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And it says, we are cleansed from what? All sin. What does that mean for us? There is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. There's not one. The blood of Jesus Christ, that promise is to cleanse us from all sin. The word in the Greek language is all, and it means all. And when it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that means all sin. That means intentional sin, unintentional sin, sin of arrogance, sin of omission, sin of commission. It doesn't matter what it is, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. How many of you are thankful for that truth? Oh man, I'm thankful for that truth because, you know, I find myself stuck and tripping over my own stupid self all the time. I war with sin. Are you warring with sin? Because if you're warring with sin and you come and you walk in the light of God, you're going to always be in that place of needing to say, God, help me. But don't ever get to that place where you're walking in darkness. You're just giving in and living and going back to that lifestyle of sin. I cannot imagine going back. So, context. Show of hands, how many of you have grown up in the church and known the Lord your whole life? Okay, first of all, you have an awesome testimony. See, your testimony isn't like mine, but I'm going to tell you have an awesome testimony. Do you know why you have an awesome testimony? Because your testimony is about the keeping power of God. That God can keep you and protect you and help you. You have an awesome testimony. Don't think your testimony of, oh, I've always known the Lord, is lame. The fact that you've always known the Lord is an incredible testimony. My testimony is different. I did not receive the Lord until I was 20 years old. At 20 years old, my life changed. I saw a difference. It was darkness to light. And for me, I always have to remember that I never want to go back there. I never want to go back into that darkness. I never want to go back into that junk, into all that stuff. Now, it doesn't mean my flesh doesn't go, but you miss it. My flesh is stupid, and my flesh is one day going to die, so I don't care what my flesh thinks. I know I don't want to go back because I know better. Sometimes our young people that grow up in church, they start growing up, and the world starts to look tempting to them. And they go, but I never experienced it, so what's out there? Nothing but hurt, nothing but shame, nothing but darkness. Walk in light. And yeah, you know what? When they're tempted to go that way, what are they doing? They're now warring with sin, just like the rest of us. Our young people need to know that we get it. The young people in the church need to know that we get it. We understand. But we need to hold each other up to walk in light and walk in truth. There's a difference between light and darkness. Don't live in darkness. Live in light. Church, are you with me on that? All right, guys. Let's pray. Gone a little long. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight, and I thank you for the word. I ask that you would be with us and that we would be men and women of the light. That we would be men and women that would know you. And that, Lord, we would be willing to war against sin. We wouldn't live in it. And we would come into the light. And as we come into the light, we'd have fellowship with you and with one another. Lord, we ask you to be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Water Springs Church. Check us out at watersprings.net. And if this video blessed you, please click the subscribe button. God bless.